Amen. Thank you, ladies. If you got a Bible, would you grab it, please, and turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we can continue, our series, Believe and Live. We're going to be talking about the Good Shepherd today, Jesus, as we've been discussing this morning. John chapter 10 will be in verses 11 through 18. As you're turning, we're also going to be in Ezekiel 34. If you want to flip over, you can do that in just a minute as well. Last week, Jesus talked about being the gate or the door, and we're going to seamlessly move into the shepherd. He said last week, I'm the gate, I'm the door. Whoever enters by me shall be saved. They will come in, they will go out, they will find pasture. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says he comes to give life and give it to the full, or give it abundantly. I wanted to be, pardon the pun, abundantly clear that the abundant life that Jesus offers is not just a someday abundant life. And I think sometimes in our Christian culture, we associate that. We think of eternal life, we think of salvation, we think of heaven, and we think of that's the abundant life that's going to come someday. But I hope that you would agree, especially if you're here last week, the abundant life that Jesus offers is to start today. When we talk about a young lady that comes to give her life to Jesus and publicly profess her life and following Jesus, the abundant life that Christ offers, it starts today. And it doesn't mean it's going to be easy or light or simple or everything's going to work out, but Jesus offers us life here on this earth with purpose and intent and design. And it's right after this truth of eternal life, abundant life, he's going to refer to himself as being a shepherd, and not only a shepherd, but a good one. And there's a lot to that today. So if you would, let's stand. We'll read our text as we do in honor of God's word. If you'll stand, grab your Bibles. There's a blue hardback one in front of you if you want to borrow that one. It'll be on the screen if you'd like to read along as well. John chapter 10, we'll do 11 through 18. Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay my life down, not only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Let's pray together. If you're visiting with us, this is an opportunity. We do it every week. Just deep breath, relax. We worship through song, through baptism, and just collectively being together. Just for you and myself, for an opportunity to take a deep breath, relax. And if your heart's desire is to receive something today, maybe you're tired, maybe you got a lot of stuff going on. If your heart's desire is to receive something from the Lord, would you just ask him to do that? That we push everything to the margins, that we would listen, and by his Spirit that we might receive something today. And if you don't mind, I would appreciate you praying for me that I would speak the word and that what he'd have for us today is. God, it's a privilege. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the privilege to gather in this place. And we gather in this literal space today collectively under your name. We come from different places, different homes, maybe different towns, different backgrounds, maybe different walks of life, maybe different things going on in our week, maybe things going on after church, maybe things going on in the week to come. But for this collective time and space, we are here and we are ready and we are willing to receive what you have for us today. I pray that your Spirit would do what only you can do, and that's to change us. And Father, I confess my inability. I can't preach hard enough. I can't say it in just the right way. I can't change anybody in this room. But you can. And for those that are willing to receive, would you change us? Would you mold us? Would you shape us? Would you refine us? Would you remind us of who you are today in our life? In the great name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Going to get right into this, and typically when we talk about the sheep and the shepherd, what's going to happen is people like me will start to look and talk about how sheep aren't very smart. You don't have to know me to know that I don't have sheep, I don't have animals, I don't have livestock, I got a dog, okay? So everybody, I'm not like an expert on this, but I know this, and researching it and talking to people that do have them, sheep aren't very smart. They need a shepherd, but that's not the point. And as I was studying this text today, what I did not find is any point where Jesus tries to make his point about who he is by demeaning or talking bad about humanity, about how, well, we're not very smart. We need this. We need this. He doesn't do that in this text today. You know what he does in these verses we're about to walk through? He's going to specifically talk about why he is not only the shepherd, church, but why he's good. And I'm going to break the text into three areas. It's not fancy. It's not flashy. But I'm going to give you three areas about why Jesus is not only the shepherd, but he's a good shepherd. Now, this metaphor and this discussion would be powerful to these Jews that were listening to this. Remember the context. Jesus is talking to these religious leaders and these Pharisees. They want him dead. They're going to get their way, but they're on God's timing, not his. They want to grab stones. They want to kill him. They're eventually going to have that moment when he marches into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, that triumphal entry, and they're going to have their way. They're going to kill him. They're going to torture him, and they're going to kill him and think that they have established their cause. But these Jews in this context would immediately understand or have reference for a shepherd. When I say farmer, something comes to mind. Mechanic, something comes to mind. If I say doctor, you may have some form of reference if you're in that area. These individuals, these Jewish people would have a powerful, powerful frame of reference for any discussion about a shepherd. It's not strange for this metaphor to be used. Now, please hear me on this. This shepherd reference, it's powerful. It goes back to the Old Testament. This is not, hear me on this, this is not like in Jesus was on the Sermon on the Mount when he's out there randomly, he's by design, but he looks out there and he sees lilies of the field and birds, and he points to them and he says specifically, he says, now look, don't worry, look at the lilies, look at the birds. They're taken care of. This is not where Jesus is sitting here looking at a bunch of sheep and going, hey, that's you guys. But he's bringing up this metaphor and this reference to help them understand something powerful. In the Old Testament, in Ezekiel, it'll be on the screen if you want to flip back to Ezekiel 34. We see many times in the Old Testament where God speaks in this reference to a shepherd. Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament scriptures, did this time and time again. And I could go a list of all kinds of scriptures that would come to mind in the Old Testament. This deeper context that God in the flesh, this Jesus who's standing before these guys that have upset them over and over, declaring to be from God, declaring to be God, has come to ransom and redeem, is coming before them. And now he's calling himself the Good Shepherd. Ezekiel 34, when God is calling out the shepherds for not taking care of their people, and God steps in and speaks through the prophet as taking over the shepherd of this scattered flock. Look at this, 11 through 16. Travis read it in our time of worship together. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look out for them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with him, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from the places where they were scattered on the day in the clouds of darkness. I will bring them out of the nations, and I will gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the lands. I will tend to them in good pasture, and the mountains and the heights of Israel, Israel will be their grazing land. They will lie down in good grazing land, and they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. Put yourself in their place, these guys. I myself will tend to my sheep, and I will have them lie down, declares the Lord. I will search for the lost, and I will bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. These Jews, these religious leaders, Possibly this is what jumps out at them. Possibly it's Psalm 20. Possibly it's all of these things, of these references, when Jesus is right before them and they hate him. They want him dead, and now he's talking about being the shepherd, and they're going, whoa. The God of the Old Testament, Yahweh, he spoke of a shepherding, and now you're standing in front of claiming to not only be the shepherd, but you're claiming to be a good shepherd at that. It's a powerful moment. So I just want you to see this. The backdrop of Jesus claiming to be the good shepherd are these Pharisees, and the reality of these religious leaders, all of the prior of the old, of declaring them bad shepherds. And Jesus steps in and says, hey, I'm the good shepherd. I'm here. God has come. The Son of Man is here. So God speaks to the prophet Ezekiel. He rebukes the bad shepherds. And we see that from the line of David, the good shepherd, the Messiah, will come. And Jesus is on the scene. I'm the good shepherd. And in this context, he just offered life abundantly. And what I want to do today is real simple. I want to say, what makes him good? Jesus is going to articulate it in three ways. It'll be on the screen if you're a note taker. The first thing is found in verses 11 through 13. Why is he good? We're not going to talk about how sheep are silly. I want to talk about, why is Jesus good? What did he declare about himself? Number one, if you're a note taker, he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. He says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd of the sheep, and he does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock scatters. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. This is gospel 101. I'm not trying to tell you something you don't already know, but Jesus Christ has come and he is going to give his life for you. He is going to die your death. He's going to pour out his blood for you. The Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. John the Baptist of old is the one who proclaimed back at earlier in John, he said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, he's here, he's coming. The sacrificial love, Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrates his love for us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. His love is sacrificial. This is where the gospel rings true. I think of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin so that he might become the righteousness of God. We get the righteousness and the holiness of God, and he takes our sin, and he conquered it through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. What a great gift. And as I talk to Olivia and other kids that we've been talking with, I tell them all the time, when does the gift become yours? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, I've said it over, I'm going to say it all the time, the gift becomes yours when you take it, when you receive it, and we celebrate that. And what Jesus does in this moment is he discusses, he does a little evaluation, or he describes the difference between an ownership and a hired hand. Now, I told you earlier, I've never owned any sheep, not anything other than a dog, okay? I don't know about livestock. I don't know about cattle. I don't know about sheep. But I tell you, I got a story I'm going to share with you. If you're not, is this the same place? Can I share a story here? Okay. There was a while back, about a year and a half ago, I got in a street fight with a dog. Now, my dog, don't calm down. So we're walking. We're the family. It's us. We just said he was baby in a stroller. We're pushing the stroller. We're walking. We got our dog on a leash. He's a beagle. He howls at people. Everybody relax. That's what he does. So we're walking, and all of a sudden, I look off into the distance, and I see this other dog that's cruising, running around, and kind of checking us out, and all of a sudden, he starts coming at us. I'm going, oh, no. We got a problem. My dog's not a street dog, you know? He's not. So we're walking, and we're going, and we're walking, and this dog comes around, checks out, and all of a sudden, in about a flash of an eye, a little fight takes place. And so this dog's going after my dog, who's not a street dog. And so all in this moment, I felt like I was by myself. I don't know, you weren't much help. Okay? So I'm there. I'm there. This dog is going after my dog. And all of a sudden, I just decided I'm gonna grab him and pick him up. Now, don't judge me, but I'm kicking, I'm hammer-fisting, I'm punt formation, I'm doing everything I can to get this dog off of my dog. Don't judge me. You'd have done the same thing. So I'm doing all of these things, and I pick my dog up, and then this dog grabs him and bites him and pulls him out of my hands. I said, he might as well be able to defend himself, just go. But I'm still kicking and punting and doing all these things and going. It felt like a 3-minute street fight, but it probably lasted 6 seconds. I'm gasping for air. I got bit. It was like a little nick, just a little blood. I kind of felt like I was in something special. You know, I was feeling pretty tough. And all of a sudden, I look around, and everybody's gone. They're gone. Baby's gone. Wife's gone. Dog is gone. I'm in the middle of a street by myself like this. That's not a joke. Am I telling a lie? That's not a joke. I'm done. They're almost home around the corner, almost past your house, all the way around. I'm like by myself going, what the heck? I tell that story because here's the thing. If that was just random dogs, I would have never done it. But my dog was in a fight with another dog, and I took it upon myself to swoop down and grab it and try to do everything I could. I got a few blows in. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I got a few good ones in, okay? Some of you guys in this room, you own cattle. You own these kind of things. That's livelihood. They're yours. You're going to do whatever it takes to protect them, right? Think your own kids. If a wild animal, wolf coming up, you're going to do whatever it takes to protect and defend what is yours. If it is a hired hand, if that's somebody else's dog, or if that wasn't my dog, I'm probably going to be like, whoa, hey, I'm going to be with my wife at home, kind of chilling with the baby and the kids. But I stepped in because out of instinct, because that was my dog. Jesus protects his sheep. We belong to him. He sacrifices, and he does it on purpose. He wants to make sure that when the wolf attacks, there is a difference between a hired hand and whoever owns the sheep. If they're yours, you're going to do whatever you have to do to protect yours. Do you understand what I'm telling you this morning? Jesus is going to do whatever he has to do to protect his. Now, the wolf, we could chase that all day. What the wolf is, that's not really the main point here. But the wolf and the things of life can attack. It could be anything. Earlier, he described anybody that's going to come after his sheep are thieves and robbers. So what Jesus is doing, he said, if anybody's going to come after mine, in other ways, false teachings, false gospels, other things, he's like, no, they're thieves and robbers. I will defend and protect mine. That's why Jesus willingly laid his life down. The hired hand runs away, but the good shepherd, he's good because he steps in when the attacks. When the robbers come, when come, anxiety comes, when doubts come, when the things of this world want to come crashing in, Jesus will step in and say, those are mine. I'm going to fight for them. And then it hit me, and I was thinking about this in my office when I was finishing the sermon this week. I was thinking about Jesus in the garden. I was thinking this wasn't a random, oh, by the way, I'll do what I have to do. Do you remember when he prayed in the garden? I think of it a lot, whatever. He was thinking and praying in the garden, and he was asking the Father, if there's another way, show me. I'll do it. But he says, take this cup from me if there's another way. He understood. He understood what it was going to take. He understood when he does come into Jerusalem, and they do start to go after him, to beat him and make fun of him. He understood all of that. But he willfully steps in and he lays down his life for the sheep. He didn't run. He knew he died for us. D.A. Carson puts it this way. The shepherd does not, I like how he worded it. The shepherd, the shepherd does not die for his sheep to serve as an example, throwing himself off a cliff in a grotesque and futile display while bellowing, see how much I love you. No, the assumption is that the sheep are in mortal danger. That in their defense, church, hear this, their shepherd loses his life, and that by his death, and only by his death, would they be saved. This is what makes him the good shepherd above all else. He willingly dies for his sheep to protect them. Let me take a step back. That silly little story about my dog was silly compared to this. Jesus willingly puts himself on the line to die to protect those that are behind. John would even later write in 1 John 3 that this laying down is how we even understand what love even is. 1 John 3:16 says this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid his life down for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for our brothers and sisters. Even this act of love, sometimes we let it terminate on ourselves, but John says, this is how we even understand what love is, what Jesus has done. And by the way, Christian, we should do that for other people. We follow Jesus because, as we've seen, he loves his sheep. And as we're about to see, we follow him because we know his voice, and it is dangerous not to. Rhetorical question. Let me throw this at you real quick. Have you ever considered that it's more than just not a good idea or not wise to follow Jesus? Have you ever considered that it might be dangerous? Have you ever considered that not following Christ in the way he's called us to is not just a bad idea, it could be harmful to you? If you believe it's for your good to follow the shepherd, then to not do so would be dangerous. Picture a sheep. They wander off by themselves. He'll go after them, but it is dangerous to not follow the shepherd. Consequences of eternity. Or believers who reject correction, believers who find ourselves in sinful situation that affects others. It's like a child who rejects wisdom, like a sheep or lamb that doesn't want to be corrected and back in guided back. So following Jesus is more than just not a good idea, it could be harmful. So number one, he is good because he lays his life down. Number two, he is good because he has a relationship with his sheep. Look at 14 and 15, if you would. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay my life on the sheep. He knows the sheep. His sheep know him. And then he gives depth of the relationship. Just if you'll let this kind of sink in for just a minute. He uses the relationship between him and the Father to basically parallel what our relationship to him should be. That's a lot. That's pretty heavy. Whatever. That's a dated term there. But that's a pretty loaded statement. To say that our relationship with Jesus Christ should be as intimate as his and the Father. I'll put in my notes here because maybe there's people out here that are like me, and when you think of animals, maybe you don't have a frame of reference, but think of being separated from people you care about. Think about if your wife or your kid or your husband, they're out of town for a while, and you're picking them up at the airport, and you've missed them, haven't seen them. You know, it's like you haven't been able to talk to them, and you long to communicate, you long to meet them and to hug them, and you just miss them because that relationship matters. Jesus refers to this relationship about being known and knowing him. And if you remember last week, if you weren't here, let me put it on the screen for you, but he talked about to these Pharisees already about this intimacy, about following. Last week, it's on the screen, he's talked about being the gatekeeper, and Jesus is the gate, and his sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought all of his own sheep, look at the picture here. He goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow. Because they know his voice. They will never follow the voice of a stranger. In fact, they will run from him because they do not recognize a strange voice. When we talk about being a Christian, whether it be kids or students or adults, when we talk about following, it's not just because it's a kitschy term. It's because that's what we're supposed to do. Some of you in this room can tell testimonies. I can too, when I've chosen not to follow him. And I've chosen, you know what? I know you're telling me to do this, but I'm going to go do this. I'm going to take myself out of the shepherd's guidance and provision and protection we talked about last week. I'm going to step over here. And I can give firsthand testimonies of when things go really, really, really bad very quickly. And it's not just a bad idea. It can be dangerous. When we remove ourselves from the protection and the provision, Jesus is talking about an intimate relationship with the sheep and the shepherd. And they follow. And they know his voice. And I need to ask you this, church. Do you know his voice? Do you follow? He calls them out by name. Now, I don't want to just gloss past that. I want you to feel the weight of this because I put in my notes here. Let me ask you this question rhetorically to think. When you understand that Jesus knows you intimately, the God of the universe knows everything about you, does that comfort you or does it make you feel uncomfortable? I've had conversations with people that are both. Some people think, I just rejoice in the fact that he knows my deep, dark secrets of my soul that... And there's some that think, man, I spent all my life trying to just protect my image, and I don't want anybody to know the deep recesses of my being, because if they did, they might walk right past me because they don't want to talk to me. The fact that Jesus, the good shepherd, intimately knows his sheep, does that comfort you, or do you find yourself kind of looking and thinking, I've spent all my time trying to just hide and not live in freedom? (Clears throat) I pray that it can be comforting. I pray that for those of us, and if there's parts of our life, church, then hear this. If we are claiming to follow him, if we're claiming to be one of his sheep, yet when we realize and we think in the truth, he knows us, he knows his sheep by name, he knows everything about us, if that doesn't bring us comfort, then maybe there's areas of our life we're trying to hide over here that we need to just, he already knows it. And walk in freedom and confession, deal with those things. That's why we follow. He goes ahead. As I tell the children all the time, when Jesus says go left, we go left. When he says stop, we stop. When he says go right, we go right. It gets a lot easier when you're talking to kids, but when you're talking to adults, and he's talking about, so we're talking about sheep living life, and he says, hey, forgive. Even though they don't like you, repent of your sins. Don't hold grudges. Move forward. Go. Serve. Stop. Rest. Be still. It's a lot more complicated when we talk about life because us, I'm going to talk about myself at the top of the list, us as sheep, sometimes we just want to do our own thing. And I'm reminded of what Jesus says in Matthew 16, that Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple, you must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow. Jesus says his sheep not only know his voice, but they follow. Are you following, church? They deny them any self-imposed rights or privileges we think. We die to ourselves and we realize, or I need to realize, that any route, anything I would choose to do outside of his sovereign protection is not just a bad idea. It is sinful and it is wrong. Paul said in Galatians 5, those who belong to Christ, we have crucified the flesh and its passions and its desires. As sheep who won't follow a stranger, we follow his voice. So Jesus tells us, church, that this relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, he is good and it is intimate. But here's a tough question. Do you know his voice? Would you recognize it in the midst of a crazy, crazy life? Are you following him? Are you so moved by your devotion to the shepherd? As the old hymn says, wherever he leads, I'm going to go. Or are you, church, like me? Let me press in a little bit. I don't want to go there. That's forgiveness, and that's where you want me to act in obedience. And I want to do my own thing. He is good because he lays his life down. He is good because he desires intimate relationship. And number three, as we move forward, he is good because he is on mission with authority. Let me explain. We'll read 16 through 18 and we'll wrap this up. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. He talked about last week about Gentiles, those non-Jewish people, that those are coming into the fold as well. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be, I love this, one flock and one shepherd. The reason my father loves me is that I lay my life down, not only to take it back up. Verse 18, no one, I hope you underline this, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and the authority to take it back up. This is the command I received from my Father. I love this because Jesus comes as shepherd of global mission. He comes to rescue and redeem everybody, not just the Jews. He comes for those of us in this room, unless you have a Jewish background that I'd love to hear about. He comes for all of us, those of the Jewish heritage, but those of non-Jew. There's another sheep pen over here, those Gentile believers. Everybody's coming into the fold. But there is but one shepherd. There is but one flock. Jesus, he's good because he has purpose. He has a mission, and he does it with authority. A shepherd may be willing to sacrifice his life, but Jesus says it's not just that. It's a planning to. It's a plan. It's already designed to do that. And this deals with authority. When Jesus said he's shepherding, this is what God designed in his whole purpose. He and the Father are one. He's saying he's in charge. There is a redemptive plan here, and this is why I've come. Jesus will soon, church, he will soon come into Jerusalem. He's going to be brutally tortured. He's going to be killed. He's going to be hung on a cross. But let me emphasize his own words. Nobody takes his life. feel that weight this morning? Nobody says, man, look what they did to Jesus. No, he laid it down. He has the authority to lay it down, and the resurrection theme here, to take it back up. That's why he's good. He lays it down. They are not in charge, and he does it willingly. Later in John 10, we'll talk more about this next week, they're going to try to kill him again. It's not going to happen because they're not in charge. It's on God's timetable, not theirs. He will give his life as the final lamb for all of us. The shepherd died, he gave his blood, and he will take it back up again. He will rise from the dead, and he will conquer sin, he will conquer death, and he will vindicate all claims of who he claimed to be. Let me close with this scripture. Hebrews 13, 20 says this. Now may God of peace, the gospel and the shepherd and the covenant, it's all amazing. May the God of peace, who through the blood eternal covenant brought back from the dead, our Lord Jesus, ready for that great shepherd of the sheep. May he equip you with everything good for doing his will. May he work in us what pleases him through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. It's a powerful picture of Jesus today. Now I need you to stay with me. Jesus lays his life down. He desires relationship with you. He's on mission to rescue and redeem. He has authority to lay it down and to take it back up. But here's the bottom line question. I need everybody to please just listen to this, and I'm almost done. We could talk all day about the good shepherd. He's good. He's great. He's awesome. He's done all these things. But the bottom line question is this. Is he your shepherd? That's it. He can be great and good, but if he's not yours, we got a problem. Are you one of his sheep? Are you listening? Are you following? Is there somebody here today that you've not given your life to Christ and you're out on your own and you think, man, I didn't realize, I've never really thought about what he's doing. Maybe he is ushering you into his fold as you see his love and his desire as the good shepherd for you. Sometimes, maybe you fall in this category. Sometimes we can be pretty stubborn. By we, I mean me, in case that hurts anybody's feelings. Sometimes we, as his stubborn sheep, need to be corrected. And I was reminded of Psalm 23, and then we're going to Psalm. This is a Psalm of David. It's a Psalm of trust. It is a Psalm of confidence. David wrote this towards the end of his life. This is probably one of those Psalms that referenced when you think of Jesus being the shepherd. David has experienced turmoil, fleeing for his life. He's on the run. He's hiding in caves. But as he reflects, he writes this down. He's finding contentment in God, and he reflects on his circumstances and the primary need for God in his life. Look at what he says. The first four verses of Psalm 23 is probably on a coffee cup. It's probably on your house somewhere, at your house somewhere. The Lord is my shepherd. Before I even read another line, can you say that? The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in pastures. He leads me beside waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Church, let me just press this in. David says he's mine. I belong to him. I'm not going to be in want. I am content and I'm satisfied. Please hear this. The green pastures and the still waters, it's fertile feeding and nourishment and provision from the Lord. He restores my soul. That literally means he gives me my life back. It's a picture of a sheep that has wandered from the fold and is brought back in. Even in those dark, that shadow of death, that dark, treacherous, when they moved the sheep from top to the bottom and they were thieves and robbers, they were predators, there were all kinds of things that would come in. He said, I will fear none because the shepherd is leading. He's out front and he is good. I'm not afraid. And I'm not afraid. It's not because I think, hey, things are going to work out the way that David thinks they're going to work out. No, it's because the shepherd is leading, and I'm following him. And I know he's good. I know he's going to lead me where I need to go. I know he's going to provide. I know he's going to take care of me. But sometimes, church, this is what we got to listen. Sometimes he uses the rod and the staff, the rod to fend off predators. And sometimes it's the staff to guide and to nudge and say, David, get over here. Let's go. David. Quit thinking like that. Quit talking like that. Quit being that way. Church, put yourself in there. Get over here. You've wandered. You've chosen your own path. Get back in here. I love you, but get back in here. It's safe. It's secure. I'm taking care of you. Is that anybody else? There are some of us today that we can celebrate that we know him. And maybe if you've wandered and he's nudging you back just to repent of those things and to be changed and to trust him and to follow him because he's good. That's the challenge today. Let's pray together. Before we sing our last song on how good he is, I just want to ask you to take a deep breath. To be reminded that he is good because he lays his life down. He desires a relationship with you. And he has the authority to get his life and to take it back up. First and foremost, church, I'm going to ask you just rhetorically, is he your shepherd? And if he is, are you following? Maybe he's nudging you back in a certain way of your life. Maybe there's somebody today that you know a lot about Jesus. You know the stories. You know the songs. You know everything that there is as far as teachings and preachings and things like that. But you have never fully devoted and given yourself to Jesus. I pray that you would rest in who he is, but also be obedient in what he is calling you to do. Because it's for your good. Whatever he's asking of you, would you respond in obedience? You pray, and then we're going to stand and sing. Church, would you stand as I pray, please? Father, we thank you for the day. As we sing this song of celebration, as we pray and as we reflect and as we repent and as we are just honest before you, I pray that we celebrate and sing this song as a declaration of how good you really are. Help us to walk in obedience. Help us to truly, truly follow as you called us to do it because you're good. We ask it in your name. Amen. Let's sing this song together. I'll be here if I can.